Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Once there were these two rich noblemen who one day went and visited a monastery for themselves. They had given donations to it, and so therefore they were permitted to have a tour of the monastery that they assisted in building. And as they were making their way through the tour, they came to the cell of a very old monk. And as they looked in the cell, they realized it was very sparse. It was almost empty completely. And yet the monk who was inside there, being very old, with white hair and a white beard, struck them as remarkable. They had never in their lives seen a man like him before. In particular, it was his face, his countenance. It contained such a joy that they thought it seemed nearly angelic. And when they spoke to him, they found it remarkable that he was so kind and he was so gentle in his approach. And all this amazed and wondered them, because the exterior life of the man nearly contradicted his interior disposition. He wore the coarsest of garments, he had the sparsest of rooms, and he lived a very penitential lifestyle. Yet he was always cheerful and smiling. How could a man wearing such coarse garments and living an austere and penitential life be so cheerful and smiling, they said. The man, the monk, heard them speaking to each other, and he told them, "Come and see." And he brought them over to the window of his cell. And he said, "Look out, and you will find there the source of my joy." The men looked out the small window and were unmoved. What they saw was quite a disappointment to them, in fact. In reality, they saw merely just a sliver of blue sky. And the rest of the view was taken up with an old, beat-up wall of the exterior of the monastery. The nobleman said, "What view do you speak of, old man? You could only see barely a sliver of the sky." And the monk responded, "Whenever melancholy or discouragement falls on me, I look at that sky, and it reminds me of the heavenly rewards which await me." And with that, joy returns. What is our goal as Christians? Our very reason for existence, the very purpose for you being here this morning. It is to get to heaven. It is to save our souls and attain paradise. But as we learn in life, every goal must be worked for in order to be achieved. Contrary to popular belief today, there is no participation trophy in life. If a man desires to succeed in business, he studies his trade and gains a mastery of it. He sets himself apart from others by striving to excel and stand out. He puts in long hours. He labors hard. He sacrifices time with family and friends, time for recreation. And all for what? A new title, a promotion, and perhaps an increase in wages. Or the athlete. He breaks down his body again and again and again. Years of hard work. Constantly suffering to be stronger, to be faster, more fine-tuned. He studies long hours of film. He practices basic, monotonous mechanics for hours each day to make minute changes things which the common eye can barely discern. And all to gain what? The corruptible crown. A few moments of praise from man. And yet, when we think of the greatest goals for us to strive after and to attain, eternal paradise, for some reason, we think it should be something that comes easy to us. But no, the reality is we must work and strive and sacrifice for that end. We must purge ourselves of the chains of fallen human nature which bind and enslave us, the things which distract us. We have to forego our natural desires at times, to practice virtue, the supernatural actions, those things which are hard from which we seek no natural return, no goodness in this life as reward for those actions completed. We must discipline ourselves and regulate ourselves. It is hard to do these things. We find ourselves fighting against our own selves in these instances. But if we wish success, how do we find it? It is by the same means. It is by keeping that goal before us. You can only find the inspiration and the strength to continue on in the quiet. We must set aside those distractions of the world, quiet our minds, simplify and quiet our souls, to find the sliver of sky so that we may contemplate heaven. Perhaps a little reflection helps. Let's ask ourselves some basic questions. And when I say we ask, I mean me too. Am I actually searching for that sliver? Think about your attendance at Mass. Do you seize the opportunities when they are there for yourselves to find the greatest of realities on earth? And when you do come, how do you arrive? Do you come early? Do you allow yourself time to prepare and to pray, to quiet the distractions down, to leave the world behind, to begin to start to focus and shift away from those things and put all of your attention on what is about to transpire before you? The greatest miracles on earth, heaven and earth touching, God and the creature coming together. Do you shake loose those burdens of your day and let your soul quiet? Or is the reality that perhaps you trample in just a couple moments before the beginning of the bell, dragging with you mud and leaves and distractions of life? Another question. What occupies your points of reading? Do you spend most of the time reading sports or news? Perhaps it's spent scouring the internet for Novus Ordo problems or trad controversies. Or perhaps you say, reading. I haven't had to do that since I was in school. Or is the reality that we spend time in our daily lives reading things like the scriptures, the lives of the saints, spiritual books? Think about the time that you spend reading. Only the last portion I gave you. actually helps you to grow in grace, actually inspires you toward sanctification, actually urges you onwards to perfection. But oftentimes it receives the least of our focus. Again, what is your first thing, your first action, if you will, when the duties of the day are completed? Think about that moment. You finished work, you've driven home, you've arrived there, or all the chores at the house are done and things are starting to settle down and to be quiet. Is your first action to pick up your phone or the remote to get that dopamine hit from a video? Or do you use some of that time for yourself to find the quiet, to spend in meditation, and to offer up prayers? Again, it is only in that quiet and prayer that we can reimagine the reward that awaits us, the goal we strive for. When we question ourselves in this manner, we can find the areas of potential growth. Such honesty, such self-reflection, it should never be a source of discouragement. It should never be something in which we feel bad at realizing exactly where we stand. No, we are not perfect. So we shouldn't be surprised, as if it were some sort of revelation, to discover it when we reflect upon it. Rather, we should find in such an honest review of ourselves that it is truly refreshing, because we see now more clearly our pathway forward, where we can improve, how we can better ourselves, how we can strengthen our souls more, how we can return ourselves back to the window to find the sliver of sky that we have lost track of throughout our days. We will find ourselves re-energized in that realization, refocused in our efforts, in our work forward, in the sacrifices that it entails in our days, to continue to take an imperfect being such as myself and strive after perfection and strive after eternal heavenly joy. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.